We're really blessed as a church that we have people that can, you know, substitute, such as Michael, such as Joe, that whenever, you know, Bob gets sick, that they're willing to step up and come to the plate for him. And not just them. I mean, there's a bunch of, you know, different departments. Like Anna, we have people that can substitute for her if she got sick. Garrett, when I'm sick, he can come in and take my spot, and me vice versa for him. And it's just so nice that we can do that for each other, that we as a church. And if you're not in one of those kind of departments and you feel led to be in that, let us know. I mean, we do need help. You'll be blessed by it. With that being said, Brother Michael, you come up and lead our message for us.
I'd like to welcome everybody, a special welcome to our visitors today. Jeff's kind of given a lead-in. He talks about different positions, different roles we have within the church. And we're going to look in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts today. Before we do, and thinking about that, I attend a Bible study on Thursday mornings, and it's in we meet in a physician's office, physician private practice in Cape, and Christian men of different denominations. And it was started several years ago because some of the Christian men, Dr. Chris calls it the Old Buffaloes Club, that these are Christian men who have been Christians for a long time, but he's noticed there's a gap between our Christian life, what we profess to believe, and our practice, how we walk. And the Apostle Paul talks about that tension. We won't go into that today, but there is that discrepancy in life, and we're going to look at that, why that is, and what we can do about it. And one of the answers is the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has provided us. And we don't hear a lot about spiritual gifts in Baptist churches, but we really need to. We need to hear about them in all Christian churches. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. And let's look at verse 1 here. And you'll notice some of your Bibles may have a heading here where it says spiritual gifts. And we're thinking unity and diversity. The church is one body. We're united. We're baptized in one body by one Spirit. But we're so diverse, with different abilities, different talents, different spiritual gifts that the Lord has given to us to do the work of the kingdom. Okay. So Paul says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So he's telling us it's important that we understand this, what he's about to tell us about spiritual gifts. In chapters 12, 13, and 14, Paul's going to tell us a lot about spiritual gifts. Now, you may say, "Now, Mike, 13, that's a love chapter." Yeah, it is. But he's talking about it in the context of spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, let's look at 4. It says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, the discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So thinking about that, different spirit or different gifts given by the same Holy Spirit. And I want to read these verses again in the New Living Translation. Not because I think it's a better translation, but maybe it'll kind of give us a different grasp on it. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it is the same Lord we're serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So the Holy Spirit's the source of these gifts. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us. And why? As a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another, and to someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another, the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it really is the Spirit of God or another spirit who is speaking. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, and another the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift that we should have. In America, we hear a lot about this. You don't have to talk to many people to find out that a lot of Christians really are living unfulfilled lives because they're not walking in the will of God. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not abiding in Christ. They're seeking worldly gifts and worldly advice and just not happy. And one of the reasons I believe that the body of Christ, at least in America, is failing to get the word out is that the church is not operating the full complement, the full power of God's gifts. Pastor Alan Barnes, he was my pastor at Louisiana, he said this, "Until we discover God's gifts of grace for us, we will not mature as a spiritual people. We will lack a certain amount of spiritual wisdom needed for our own learning, for evangelism, and for ministry. We may become worldly wise, but God calls worldly wisdom foolish. How can I make such statements? God has an intended journey for each of us to walk in this life. We call that God's will and our calling. God's gifts of grace are our tools for the work he has called us to do. They will be paramount pieces in our survival pack, in our best weapons of spiritual warfare. We will learn more about God's ways each time we utilize our gifts of grace, and we will mature." Now, what do we mean by spiritual gift? Quite simply, a spiritual gift is the God-given ability to do the work of God. It's God's supernatural grace placed within us based on his will for our lives. It becomes our extraordinary desire to do the things of God. And God gives us what we need to meet his will for our lives and his will for the church. And always bear in mind, God will never call us to do something without equipping us for the task. Now, spiritual gifts, they're abilities given by the Holy Spirit, and they're given sovereignly by the Holy Spirit to help serve Christ and enable us to build the church, to build the body of Christ, to help that unity. Now, sometimes, at least for me, to understand what something is, it's often helpful for me to contrast it with something that it is not. And something that spiritual gifts are not, they are not our natural abilities or talents. Now, we may talk about that here a little bit later more. But God can and use our natural abilities, but that's not what spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law." The fruit of the Spirit is Christian character qualities that are to be manifested through all Christians as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it's certainly important that these qualities be manifest in our lives, but they're not spiritual gifts. That's something else. Spiritual gifts are not merit badges or rewards. People that feel they have sinned seriously do not need to feel undeserving of spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that the folks in the Corinthian church, they possess gifts in abundance, despite just a few months' removal from flagrant sinning. And a pastor talked about this a few weeks ago, how a lot of us were saying, well, we're going to wait till we get our lives to a certain point, then we'll serve God, then we'll do this. And that really sounds good. But those people that think that way never go on and serve God. We have to start where we're at. God has equipped us at our spiritual birth with spiritual gifts. And he wants us to begin to serve him. We looked in Sunday school this morning. Topic came up that some people don't come to church because, well, I don't need to. You know, I watch television, maybe I follow church service. Even some local churches televise their services. It's a great thing. Nothing wrong with that. But we don't only come to church to learn. We come to church to serve. And that's a part of it, that each one of us has a function. Each one of us has a role. That we're all called into service. And we're all called to grow the body. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's our role to make that happen. When we pray, we're asking God to make us part of the solution. Now, we don't think of it that way, but that's what we're asking the Lord to do. And he's equipped us to do so. Spiritual gifts are not reserved for the super spiritual. Sometimes you'll see congregations or sometimes maybe even denominations elevate certain spiritual gifts above others. And then they may use this as a way to gauge their spirituality against other Christians. That's not scriptural. It leads to spiritual pride. It leads to legalism. All gifts are important. So they are not reserved for someone that thinks they're super spiritual. Spiritual gifts are given by God's grace undeserved. Grace means a merited favor. Now, from the scriptures that we looked at, we learned the following about spiritual gifts. First of all, the purpose is that spiritual gifts are to build up the body. They're not given for fame. They're not given for recognition. They're not given for my benefit. They're not given for the benefit of the individual. They're a trust committed by God to use for his glory and to build up the body, to use as he directs. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 says, as each one, so again, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. The Holy Spirit bestows these gifts sovereignly. He, not us, determines what our function in the body is. And sometimes people fight against that. We may say, well, you know, I want to be the one doing this. I want to be the one up here singing, you know. That may not be what God's equipped me to do. And the quickest road to dissatisfaction is trying to do something that God has not equipped me to do. So it's the Holy Spirit will direct us in the role that we should have. Our spiritual gifts have to be developed and exercised. Although the gifts are given by grace, a merited favor, it takes hard work, it takes time, it takes study, it takes practice to use them, to learn how to use them. And God holds us responsible for what to develop what he's given us. Some of the harshest rebukes in the New Testament that Jesus gave were for people who did not do this, for people who did not develop what he gave them. Now, all gifts are essential to God's purposes. We shouldn't feel unimportant by somebody wrapped up in spiritual status seeking, or we shouldn't feel more important and get wrapped up in spiritual status seeking. All gifts are necessary for the body to function. Last week at the Bible study I mentioned, it's a good illustration of this. There was a man, he started coming to the Bible study, and like a lot of others in the group, he's fairly new in the Lord. And he was making a comment. He didn't believe he had any gifts. Well, we'll talk more about that. So we've already said a gift is given to each one. But he was talking, one of the things he's involved in, he said, I'm good with my hands. I'm not good really talking to people, but I'm good with my hands. And he's involved in a ministry that repairs vehicles and gets them to single mothers, you know. And I asked him, I said, do you not see that as ministry, reaching out with the love of Christ, you know, as an exercise of a spiritual gift? No, we may not think of it that way. We think of the role of the pastor, we think of, you know, the role of the praise and worship group or things like that. But all gifts are essential for the body to function. We absolutely have to have all the gifts. And if we're not walking in our gifts, the body suffers. And I don't just mean the body, this congregation, the church universal. If I'm not fulfilling my role in the body, if I'm not exercising my spiritual gifts, not only does Chaffee General Baptist suffer, somehow the Methodist Church in Chaffee suffers, or Cape Bible Chapel suffers, the church universal suffers when we do not walk in the spiritual gifts, when we do not exercise the gifts God's given us. Now, the effective use of every spiritual gift is dependent on faith in Christ. We have to constantly and consciously be dependent on Christ for his enabling power. We have to remember, we don't do the work. We don't work through Christ. Christ works through us. The Bible tells us, as you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him. We accepted Jesus into our lives by faith. So our spiritual walk has to be a walk of faith, not our own power. We cannot do the Christian walk on our own. It's impossible. We can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the effective use of gifts requires participation in a local body. Gifts are to build up. They're to edify the body, and not in some abstract sense, but in a very real and very concrete ways. And the way for each believer to do his or her part to build up the church universal is to commit and contribute to a local body of believers. It's extremely important that we be part of a local body. And that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. So if I can't go to church, that's one thing. That's not what we're talking about. But just to say, you know, I don't need to go. And you'll hear people say this all the time. Well, I don't have to be a Christian to go to church. That's true. You don't. But we're commanded to not forsake assembling ourselves together. And we're commanded to exercise our spiritual gifts. And we do that within the context of our local body. So it's extremely important. People that are really, you'll notice new believers, and they have that zeal for the Lord. And sometimes we lose that as we grow in God, and that's unfortunate. We want to regain that zeal. But they have that zeal for the Lord. And one of the first things, it's almost like people don't have to tell them they need to do this. They have that compulsion. They want to find a Bible-believing church and be a part of it. You know, Of course they do. God's Spirit's within them. God's Spirit's directing them to that end. Another thing to think about is our spiritual gifts are useless, or they're even harmless, or harmful, excuse me, without love. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. A lot of times we don't think of it this way. And again, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's writing in the context of teaching the church about spiritual gifts. But without love, the gifts that are to build unity will destroy it. That everything we do as believers, it has to be from a spirit of love. God is love. So I heard Joyce Meyer say, our gifts can take us where our character cannot go. So if we're not walking in the Spirit's power, we will do damage with our gifts. We might ask the question, why should I know my gift? One important reason is Scripture commands us to exercise our gifts, and I can't exercise my gift if I don't know what that is. Another reason is that if we do know our gift, we can actively take steps to develop it. If we know our gifts and we're exercising them, we're going to feel a satisfaction, and we're not going to be frustrated because we're going to be contributing in the body the way we were meant to. And we have that a lot of times in churches, that we have somebody in a role that they're not spiritually gifted for, but they're doing it because nobody else will. Somebody's got to do it, right? So step up. I've been put in roles like that before. Might be put in one now, huh? But when that happens, we really become frustrated, But when we're fulfilling the role that God has for us, we're doing it through His strength. So we don't have that frustration, that struggle that we often have when we're trying to do something we're just not gifted to do. Now, how do we discover our gifts? This is extremely important. The first step that we need to take is prayer. And I know that seems cliche in Christian circles. Well, pray about it. But it's extremely important that every action that we take needs to be bathed in prayer. I think it's one of those things that we think goes without saying, but probably is often neglected. But we want to start with prayer. Simply ask God. God wants us to know His will more than we want to know it. God wants us to know and exercise our gifts to build the body up far more than we probably want to. That's His will for us in Christ Jesus. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you've received them, and they will be granted you. 1 John 5:14-15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. We know that it's God's will for us to discover and use our spiritual gifts. We saw in Scripture, He's commanded us to do that. So when we pray and ask for Him to reveal this to us, we can ask this in full confidence. This is something that we know is His will, so we can be assured He will answer this. Second is commitment. We have to really ask ourselves, Are we really committed to do whatever God wants us to do? God is not going to reveal his gifts to us if we're not fully committed to his agenda. It's kind of like when a while back I talked about God's will, you know, God's general will, God's will for each individual, those kind of things. He isn't going to reveal his will to me if I'm not committed to his agenda. And sometimes we're like that. We think, well, I want to know God's will to see whether I want to do it or not. It doesn't work that way. We have to be committed to do whatever God has asked us to do. With that commitment, God will respond and will honor that. We're told in Romans 12, 1 through 2, verses familiar to all of us. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is. So having that commitment to lay our bodies, living sacrifices for the Lord. Another way we can discover our gift is through experience. Kind of asking ourselves, what has God given me to do in the past? You know, what kind of opportunities seem to kind of drop in my lap? I've noticed any church I've been to, whether I wanted to or not, I didn't bring it up, but I'd end up somehow teaching a class. You know, somebody bring it up, you know, and, oh, we teach his class for us. I'd be like, I guess, you know. That'd kind of get dropped in my lap. What areas has God not blessed us? What areas have we stepped out in faith and just didn't work out? That's okay. That's a learning experience. You know, we got to be willing. What's the book? If you want to walk on the water, you got to step out of the boat. You know, I think John Ortberg wrote that. It's a good book. So looking at what areas of service have and haven't been open to us. Through our past experience, God, he will show us the areas that we can serve him best. Now, to get this kind of experience, we're going to have to expose ourselves to different types of Christian service. Some proficiency in a certain area may suggest a potential gift. Dr. Charles Ryrie, he says that many ordinary laymen and laywomen miss the full use of their gifts simply because they will not tie themselves down to a regular Sunday school class or even to a simple administrative job in the church. We must reservedly be willing to do anything if we would know the fullest use of our spiritual gifts. You know. So again, we have to step out of the boat. Natural abilities and temperaments. Now, like we mentioned earlier, spiritual gifts are not the same as our natural abilities. But sometimes they do build on or they consistent with our natural inclinations. For example, someone who's a teacher might be a naturally good student who is supernaturally gifted by God to share with others what they've learned. Now, on the other hand, though, God may, and he often does, gift us for a function that is very opposite to our natural abilities and personality. God may call it a very shy, reserved person to a public ministry. One of my past pastors, he told me when he received the calling to ministry, he actually had a phobia of public speaking. You know, it was all he could do to stand up here and talk without having a panic attack. You know, not talking, I'm uncomfortable by it. He had a phobia of it. But God called him anyway, and he was obedient to that. So God may, again, gift us an area that goes against what we are naturally talented to do. Paul stated that God's strength is manifested in our weakness. And that's why when someone sees us do something, and they know that weakness, that it isn't me, that God is doing that through me. God gets the glory. He gets the credit. That way they're not like, oh, wow, look how good he is, or look how good she is at that. But they see that God done that through that individual, and that's important. Another way of knowing is through the confirmation of other Christians. The Bible in the book of Proverbs tells us, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. And God can and often does use other Christians to give us guidance in discovering our spiritual gifts. In what areas have others said you bless them? What do mature Christians say when you ask them for counsel? You know, I'll talk to some people and they'll say, you know, Mike, I notice people come up and talk to me about their problems. You know, I don't do anything to encourage this. It just, people just come up and they talk to me. You know, that may indicate a spiritual gift there. Example from scriptures, Acts 4:36. And we have a disciple named Joseph. And his gift of encouragement was so evident that disciples gave Joseph a new name. They called him Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. So we need to remember that every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. If I say I don't have a gift, I'm really saying I have no function in the body. And that's just simply not so. God has given us all at least one spiritual gift. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. In Romans 12:6-8, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each, so again each, exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Now, this is my opinion, so I always preface that as my opinion. I believe each Christian probably has a primary gift and then a secondary gift. Some Christians have several. We look at the life of the Apostle Paul and see that he clearly had multiple spiritual gifts. And for someone to fulfill, like Brother Bob, to fulfill the role of pastor, there's several gifts that go into that role. So, but each believer has at least one spiritual gift, and that we know from Scripture. Okay, as a close, we'll close just with kind of some Cliff Notes summary statements. So if you happen to nap, this is the Cliff Notes version, okay? The good part's abridgment, I guess. Okay, each believer has at least one spiritual gift. We all have at least one spiritual gift. If I don't know what that is, that's okay. We're going to find out. We're going to work, we're going to ask the Lord, and we're going to find out. The Holy Spirit sovereignly bestows these gifts. The Holy Spirit determines our role in the body, not us. It's his job to tell me what my function in the body is. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to build up the body. It's not for me, it's not for my benefit. It is to build up the body. Spiritual gifts have to be developed and exercised. Although they're given by grace, it takes work. It takes work to grow them. It takes work for us to use them to our full abilities for others. And finally, all gifts are useless or even harmful without love. You know, as believers, our lives have to be characterized by love. Especially dealing with the non-believing world. If they don't see that in us, they're not going to listen to anything else we say. And we have to bear in mind that people matter to God. all people. All people matter to God. We can do damage with our spiritual gifts if they're not bathed in love. And we've all seen that happen. I guess as we have a song of invitation, you guys come up. I want you to think for a minute about the most important spiritual gift of all, and that's God's gift of salvation. A lot of times when we have a church like this, you know, some of our smaller churches, we don't want to stand up here every week and say, get saved, get saved, get saved, and you're all out there going, we are, we are, we are. But at the same time, we don't want to leave an opportunity. If someone doesn't know the Lord, or if there's some need that you have, the invitation's given to come on up. And bear in mind, the most important gift the Lord has given us is the gift of His Son. That we have that gift freely to all. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will no wise cast out. God loves you. And God will go any length, like we looked in Sunday school, has went any length to save us.